Good evening, everybody. So recently I have lots of people coming to me talking about their relationship. So I think it's very important. It's one of the, you know, because we live in the community and we need to interact. So we cannot cut ourselves away, you know, of everything. So that's how we interact and how we relate to things. Our relationship is part of the very important things in our life, you know, how we relate to our life. So relationships is not only restricted to partners or families and like friends, not only with people. So how we relate to our life, even relate to our emotion and even relate to ourselves. That is all relationship. So all kinds of relationships. So today I would like to talk about how to applying Dhamma to enhance relationship. So because all of you know that in Buddhism, the Buddhas emphasize a lot these cultivations of the mind to develop these mental qualities, the wholesome qualities. So with these wholesome qualities, with the practice to help us to enhance our relationships. So some of these qualities is important and is essential to help us to cement and to enhance our relationship. For example, like trust. So it's very important that trust, to give someone the trust. Actually talk about trust and actually remind me of some years ago when I went back to Malaysia to visit my family. And I remember my son said to me, that he just expressed his gratitude and appreciation. He said that, Mom, he said, I thank you so much that the fact that, you know, because his wife said that he's had lots of self-confidence. If someone is in lots of self-confidence, then if the conversation is start from that, then he started to express his gratitude. He said, actually, my confidence actually has come from you, he said, because the trust that he said that you have given me since when I was little, still he grown up. So he said that because the trust that I gave him, he said that give him a lot of self-confidence and also encouragement. Because just imagine if you distrust someone, you become suspicious. And you always check on, like we have someone come to me that, you know, that the husband left her because of she's suspicious of the husband. She's always check on the husband until a point that the husband left her. Couldn't stand, you know, try to check on the husband why you come back late, you know, each time because distrust. And you make the person feel like a lack of self-confidence. Because I allow him to do and allows other people to make mistakes. That is very important. Because to me, I always encourage him to speak the truth. Even he make a mistake, I say, okay, good. I said, you learn from it. Because life is not an end result. Life is a process. So sometimes, you know, it's not really right or wrong, like sometimes things doesn't work out, you know. So we put the label on that, you know, when we put the label on good or bad. And I encourage him to speak the truth, but sometimes like, he think that's, you know, and when he make mistakes, I say, okay, it's fine. It's all right to make mistakes, no big deal. So this is how I always encourage him. So not try to make your children to be perfect. So if you try to make them to be a perfect person, then actually that is really create a lot of suffering for yourself. You know, you can only do your best to give him the support, the love, the care. That is the most important things. It's just like me, you know, like I've been given the job like as an abbot, core abbot, and also the teacher of, you know, my nuns, seminaries, you know. So if I were to identify myself as a teacher, and I create myself lots of suffering, like I try to make them perfect, you know, try to mold them, you have to behave in a certain way. No. So I'm here to just to help and support, to give them the opportunities, so to help them to live the monastic life, to give them guidance and leave it to them. So sometimes they have to learn. It's just like for my son, I just let him learn. Sometimes they need to experience themselves, because sometimes if parents become too protective, you know, not to allow them to experience themselves, to realize themselves, that is much better. Then he knows, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Because we have become too protective. Then next time when he grows up, he will not never learn. You know, we not allow them to learn, you know. For example, I remember when he was 18, he went to he wanted to take up a driving test. So then he just said, okay, mom, I want to learn to drive. And I said, okay, yes, you go. I just let him do it. But of course, like his father a bit worried, you know. He said, oh, maybe, you know, if you go alone, they think that you're a young man, they will touch you more, this and that. I said, it's okay. I said, if it's someone cheat him, touch him more, it's good. I said, at least he learned, you know. But give him the chance to learn to grow, to be independent. Because he are too protective, he will never learn, he will never grow. Because we can only, one of the saying that we only teach the person to like, I mean, it's not encourage people to fish. I mean, there's one of the saying that, you know, to how to catch fish rather than keep feeding them. So when they grow up, they don't know how to, they rely on the parents so much. So to help them to be independent, that is the trust. It's very important. And also give the person the sense of self-respect. You know, you have the self-confidence, so you have a sense of self-respect. So again, the self-respect always have to come from ourselves. If we want our children to respect us, the first thing we have to respect them. The same thing applies to husband and wife or partners or friends. If we want others to respect us, the first thing we have to show the respect. Then, we don't demand respect, but we respect others. So this is the issue. We only have the respect within ourselves first. Then others will respect us. So it's important with relationship, you know, trust. Yeah, respect, that is important. Because of I can sometimes some couples when we have conversations and the couples come and talk to me after Dana, they say sometimes even they argue because of whether they remember where they put the vase here. They can argue for a whole night because of that. You know, sometimes they can argue for, because we hold on to our view and opinions. We think that we are right. We want to be right because come from the sense of self. So this is a lot of conflicts and arguments, you know, even with brothers and sisters. I know I've grown up where I have three sisters and three brothers. So I know about that, you know, we fight and we argue. So that is, you know, because of we hold on to our views and opinions then. But if you have that, you know, trust is important. There's like, and also is the forgiveness, you know. It's important to have a sense of forgiveness. If our partners, whoever have done something wrong, you know, we be able to forgive and let go. And it remind me of that an incident happened that about a year ago. And there was a young couple in their 20s. So this the husband, so have been married for 7 years. So this is the seven years each. So when he's working in his company, I mean, he's got another lady that, you know, partner with him, so because he's already married. So with this lady, and he started to feel that, you know, have a few, you know, interested each others, you know, have the interested in each others, and then they started to have that to go out, but it didn't continue because of this young man, he realized that he shouldn't. He see the danger of, he just continue to do that. Then that is the danger of that. And I was really impressed that a young man, you know, like in the 20s, he'd be able to pull back. You know, he didn't go further. He realized, okay, I got to stop, you know. Then he stopped. And then he told the girl, no, I'm not going to see you. And he tell the girl that that's it, you know, not to see each other. And the girl also agreed with that. And the girls to go to overseas to study. So after that, he thought that this is finished. But because of he's such a truthful person, he himself, he find that it's very difficult for him to lie, especially to his partner, to his wife, that, you know. And of course, one day that he and his wife went back to visit the family. Of course, the fathers-in-laws and mothers-in-laws, they were very kind to him. It's very loving. It's really kind to him. And the wife also is really, had been very supportive. It's really good wife. Then he had a sense that he feels so bad that he had done something that, you know, that he feel bad about that. That he feel like he shouldn't do this, you know, behind his wife. Then he feel that he should confess to his wife. But he wasn't sure whether to confess or not, because he's already stopped that. It's over. But then, of course, he was thinking that he was smart. Then he started to test the water first by telling her wife a similar story. So he asked the wife, if you were the lady, if you were the wife, would you forgive him? Then the wife said, yes, of course, if I were her, I definitely would forgive the wife, you know. Then because he's testing, okay, then he's got the confidence, and he confessed and tell the wife what happened. My goodness, his wife couldn't take it. Because he told me. Then I told him, I said, you never believe what the woman said. I said, because he listening to a story, it's not happened to her. Happened to someone. That's why she said, oh, forgive. I can forgive, God forgive. Because it's not happened to her. You know. But what to do? He said it. And the wife was really couldn't take it. She was just shocked. And she was so, like she just like, the way she, initially his wife just sit like, daunted, like don't know what to do. And then later his wife like blaming herself, because I'm not good enough, that's why is this happened. And then all in a sudden her wife will said that want him to make sure that wanna see the girl again. And another minute that and then she was can go out, you know, to get some alcohol, to drink, you know, and all sorts of, it's because his wife normally don't drink, and sometimes his wife drunk and climb up to, the, you know, very high, you know, the wall that they have, you know. Then he was really, and he's lots of suffering. He said, oh, I'm now hurting, you know, two women. You know, he felt that he's done such a terrible thing. So I told him that now is not the time to blame. It's the time to see what can be done to save your marriage. It's the most important. I said, all you need to do, you have to give lots of love and support and kindness towards your wife. And because he felt that, like, why the wife cannot forgive him. So, and then because he said, you know, I really stopped, and why he can't forgive me? Then I told him, I said, for example, if a wound, you take time to recover, to heal, isn't it? I said, you every 5 minutes, I said, you look at it whether it's healed. Of course it's not. I said, you have to give your wife the time. So allow, all you need to do is just to give her the love and support to make her to feel, to trust you that, you know, you're not going to do that anymore. Then after that, then I told him, you know, I said, not only be kind to your wife, to have the compassion. The compassion is that you'll be able to put yourself onto the other person's shoes. I said, what happened if it's happened the other way around? I said, would you react the same thing? You know? But I said, you have to think that, you know? It's easy to think that, you know why? You know, I already confessed, I already stopped that. Why can't she forgive me? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, so then I asked him, if you were her, will you forgive easily? Maybe you have the same thing, you have the same response, reaction. Then after that, slowly, I told him that you have to be really always be there, you know, to make sure that it's all right and to be patient. And actually, eventually, they're good. Now they're expecting their first baby. You know, it's you know, and that's why you can see the forgiveness. You know, of course, sometimes it's very difficult to forgive at the beginning, but eventually. The wife forgive him. They said forgiveness is important. You know, for any relationship, you know, have to base on kindness, compassion, and trust. So, for example, like a relationship, like partners, you know, husband and wife, you know, like if the relationship based on lust, it will not last. Because according to the research, you know, if someone fall in love, it's the neuron in the brain, you know, the emotional side override the logical side. So that's why when usually people say that someone fall in love, they say they're blind, you know, and then they look at my partner is the most wonderful one, you know, and they're really beautiful, they're really good, you know, and because it's you know, only last for 3 years. It will not last for long, you know, according to the research. So, that's like, if you base on that, when that's gone, you know, and then I can see some people, you know, they're complaining to me like, you know, oh, you know, they complain to me about their husband, you know, snoring so much and things. You try to find fault, you know, after that, you know. And if I were to know that he's not so terribly, and I don't think I've married him, you know, things like that. And actually, it remind me of one of the joke that, that's about the snoring. There's four men, you know, they went for the camping, you know. So they have to share the tents. The tents, because four of them, they have only two tents. So they have to share. And one of them snored terribly. But then, because they have to share with him. So three of the men, they have to take turns to share the tent with this man that's he's snoring terribly. So, okay, the first night, the first man shared the tents, sharing the same tents with this man, he's snoring, it's not. Then the next morning when he came out with the bloodshot eyes, you know, weak bloodshot eyes, and he's really tired. So then he said, oh, how are you? He said, oh, you have no idea. He's really snoring like anything. The whole night I couldn't sleep. I sitting there looking at him, you know. The whole night I can't sleep. Then the next day, the next one, to share the same tent with this man again. So, and then the following morning, and this man also come with, you know, with bloodshot eyes, you know, very tiring, you know, the hair is just, he looks so tired. He said, you have no idea. He snored until almost the tents collapsed. He said, I couldn't sleep the whole night. I was sitting there looking at him snoring. I couldn't sleep. And then come to the third night, this man is a footballer. He's very tall. He's 6'4". So his turn to went in there to share with him, you know, the tents. So the next morning he came out. So he's come with really bright, you know, very happy and very bright. They said, oh, how was about yesterday night, you know? Because everybody had that experience to, you know, how is it like, you know, to share the tents with this man? So he said, yeah. So he said, it's good, very good. I had a good sleep. Then he said, then they said, what happened? Everybody's so curious. He said, oh, I just tucked him into the bed and I kissed him goodnight. And the whole night, he's sitting all night looking at me. You know, this is how, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we find fault, you know. After that, if you have that, you know, friendship, you know, that the relationship based on that, you know, love and compassion, have the understanding, then we'll be able to forgive, because it's very easy to find fault, you know, of others, and we can't see ourselves. Sometimes we think that, poor me, I have to put up with this person, I have to put up with that, but we don't know how other people suffer with us too, isn't it? And it's very easy that we find fault with our partners, you know. And I remember that one of the reasons that, that couple that I said that he started to have interest like in the other lady, because he one thing he told me that I think started to find fault with the wife, you know. He said that, oh, you know, just lately I find that it's very difficult. We always argue, we disagree with each other. I find that she doesn't understand me and blah blah blah, you know. And she find that girl is more, you know, understand her and know how he feel, and they have the same interest and blah blah blah. So then I told him, I said, actually, do you realize that, you know, you think that someone always agree with you? Actually, I said, two of you is reinforcing your sense of self. And you think that, you know, that person agree with me, you know, that person give me happiness. Actually, it's not the person give you happiness, because we want to listen to what we, the things that pleasing to our ears, isn't it? The things that we like to listen. Then we feel good, we feel happy. Then we think that person makes you happy. I said, it's not the girl makes you happy. I said, because he reinforces the sense of self. So you feel good, you know. Oh, she agreed with me and reaffirm your sense of self, your views and opinions. I said, it's not that. I said, beware of that. And he said, oh, yeah, actually it's true. Because he said, when he happy, he's in his job, you know, that he got the training, like marketing, one of the way that they train, like you always have to please make the your client happy. Actually, he said the client, actually, they don't care how good you are. As long as you try to always agree with them, reaffirm their views, then he find that most of the time he got the contract, you know. He said that it's easy. Then he said, yeah, it's true. He said, then he realized that. They say sometimes we think that we always want the other person agree with us. And then we think that we're such a wonderful person. And actually, like, if the other person disagree with us, that's the learning. That's when we get upset. Then we look at ourselves and we say, oh, then we realize actually we are not that wonderful. You know, to look at our own reaction. Actually, like, they are our teacher. In my life, I find that, you know, those person that is difficult, I always learn a lot, because I be able to see, look at my resentment, you know, my anger, my rejection, that I really, oh, because I remember when I was alone, you know, I practiced a lot of solitude and seclusion when I was on my own. I thought that, you know, I'm wonderful, you know, so peaceful and so calm. Until someone pressed my button, then I really feel, oh, you know, it's so upset. Actually, sometimes, you know, then I realized that I was so deluded. You know, sometimes you don't always everybody agree with you. Then you really think that you are wonderful. Actually, it's not. Then I started to investigate, and I realized that at the end of the day, if someone praise you, you feel happy, and you listen something that is nice, pleasant, you're happy, how long is it going to last? It's not going to last forever, isn't it? Even someone criticize you, how long is it going to last? It's not going to last anyway. So at the end of the day, whether someone praise you or criticize you, it's no difference. Then I realize that, you know, But it's actually, I learn more with difficult people, you know, because they really trickle off my defilements, you know, because it's there. Because it's just the condition is not there, you know, then it's not being triggered off. It's just like one of the, I remember one of the suttas, I think, I don't know, maybe some of you might read these suttas before regarding in the Majjhima Nikaya, a lady that everybody think that he's such a kind and nice lady, and then the servant want to test her. He said, oh, everybody said my master is such a wonderful lady, so kind, so good. And then she tried to test her. Then she started, because she got a very good servant, because the servant is do everything and is very obedient and very hardworking, and everything is just good because the servant is good. Then the servants decided to test her. Then the servant the first day started to get up late. Then she was so upset, she started to say, why you get up late, you know. Then she still can hold herself. Then the next day, the servant even get up even later. And he got more upset. He's very angry. He scolded the servant, you know, that how come you get up so late, and you know, you're not doing your job, and you're so lazy, and then you don't follow instructions. And she scolded the servant. Then another day, the following day, the servant even get up later. And she was so upset that she even hit the servant. Then the servant realized that actually she's not really that, you know. Everybody think that she's so kind and so calm and so good. But actually it's not. It's just that the condition is not there. It's not right, you know. When this condition is right, it's being triggered off, all our emotion is all come out. So they say it's important that you know that. If our relationship based on trust, based on kindness, compassion, forgiveness, this kind of relationships can last and enhance this relationship. And it's just impossible that, you know, that I mean, husband and wife, that sometimes we do have a bit of arguments, you know, because we cannot have always see things, because we are being conditioned. I mean, we've been brought up in a different way, isn't it? Like our conditioning is different. Each one of us is different. So that's why the way we perceive things is different. It's not that who is right or wrong. And that's why it leads to argument, because if we hold on to our views and opinions, then leads to argument. That's why it reminds me another jokes, you know, one a couple that they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary. And then these couples that they never argue, and that, you know, they say, I now never argue with my wife, not even once. All these 50 years they've been married. And then everybody was very curious. They said, how come you be able to do that? You know, married for 50 years, never argue. Oh, so what is your secret recipe? Be able to do that, no argument with, you know, 50 years being married. Then he said, oh, when he was just got married, and they went for a holiday. So then they were riding on the journey. They were riding on the donkey. So then halfway through, the donkey started to stumble. So the wife said to the donkey, "This is the first time." So then the donkey stumble, then continue to walk. Then after a little while, the donkey stumble again. Then the wife said to the donkey, "This is the second time." Then after that, the donkey stopped stumble and continued to walk. And afterward, the donkey stumble again. Then the wife got down from the donkey, you know, got down, and he went behind, you know, from the back, you know. So she pulled out a gun and he shot the donkey. And the husband said, "Look at her. Why did you shoot the donkey?" And he turned around to look at the husband. "This is the first time." And then the husband said, "From then onwards, I don't dare to argue with her." So I think maybe this works, you know, is next time your partners or whoever want to argue with you, so you tell them this is the first time, so that they don't dare to argue with you. So this is important, like, you know, like relationship, you know. So sometimes maybe we do argue, then we forgive each other, you know. Oh, sorry. And then, you know, I'm sorry, darling, that, you know, just now I shouldn't have said that, you know. I'm sorry that I said that. It's fine, you know. And this is, again, forgiveness. To allow other people, because sometimes, like, sometimes stress out, you know. So this relationship, and then how about relationship towards life? That is another, how we relate to life. That is also important. Actually, how, whether we be able to live harmoniously with our families, you know, is actually, is really affect how we relate to life, you know. If you are, if you be able to live harmoniously with our family, so we are happy, so we are more positive, so then we look at life. Then we live more in a positive way to look at life. So just not long ago, someone, a lady that she's had a stroke, and she can't really speak, and her husband need to translate, you know, and what she wanted to talk to me. Then the first questions that she asked me, she said, how do I live with this condition? And I look at her, I said, you know, that is part of life. It's unavoidable. It's, we cannot avoid old age, sickness and death. So because of we have this body, we're going to get old. We're going to get sick. So, inevitably, there is one day that we get old, we get sick. I said, that is, you know, part of life. And that's why the Buddha's thing, I said, refer to the Buddha's teaching of the first noble truth, that is part of life, that is suffering. So, that we cannot avoid. But we can avoid, that is the first arrow. But we can avoid the second arrow, that's we add on. So, if we be able to relate to our condition with kindness and compassion, come from the place of accepting, because we do not accept. We reject. We say, why me? Why this has happened to me? Because of we don't understand life. If we understand that it's part of that, no matter what you do, life is not going to be perfect. So if you understand that, we accept that that is part of life, then we be able to relate the life with kindness and compassion. Then we reduce the suffering. Because if we add on, you know, we feel upset, depressed, and that is the suffering more. You know, that then we lessen our suffering. Then the second one we can avoid. So the first one we cannot avoid, but the second error we can avoid, we can lessen our suffering. Like, to relate, you know, life with better. There's two ways of looking at things. So we have a choice, you know, if we want to suffer, then we keep going, you know, complaining and thinking that it's unfair, why this happened to me. So if we relate with kindness and compassion, I said to have kindness and compassion towards the condition, towards our own illness. I said, I don't know what is going to happen to me. So they said, with that, it's important. Then really the last one, that is the relationship that is the most important one. That is the relationship towards ourselves. That is the most important thing. Because everything has to come from ourselves first. Because why? Because we come to this world alone. When we leave this world, it's also alone, isn't it? It's no one is going to be there to hold our hand. So we have to be by ourselves. So the relationship towards ourselves is important. How we relate to our emotion. So do we relate to our emotion with anger, with fear, with anxieties, or anxiousness, feel nervous, and panic? Some people have this panicking attack. So how we relate to that? Because it's important how we relate to our emotion. Because if we relate to our emotion with that, And we are reinforcing the emotion. So it's important that we be able to aware of that. That is the how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to our defilements. Some years ago, someone come to me and she's always tried to not to allow her defilements to come out. I said, you can't, because she had fear. She said, you know, you have no idea. I said, when I have that kick out, I have this compulsive, obsessive compulsive disorder. I can't stop doing that, she said. So she had this fear that come out, you know. I said, you can't. I said, you have to accept that, you know. I said, the defilement itself is not a problem. The problem is whether we are aware of that and we not to reinforce that defilements. So some people try very hard to not to allow, you cannot allow the defilements not to kick out. So how we relate? Do we relate to the defilements with kindness and compassion? The acceptance. Because of she is not accepting the fact that she has that defilements. That is the problem. And I remember when I was in Singapore, we had a session with this youth about the emotional intelligence. So one younger, she's very young, about 13, 14. And she told me about how, she felt how she relate to her emotion. So she said that she had this emotion that she, when she's stressed out, because she said she have lots to do, the studies, and she really stressed out. And she started to feel very agitated and irritated. So then I started to ask her, I said, when do you feel, when you stress out, what do you feel? I said, how about your body? Is it, can you tell me your sensations or feelings? Is there any sensations, any feelings in your body? She said, yes. I feel very tense. I feel tight. Whenever I stress out, I feel tight. She said, then I said, oh, very good. At least she aware of her sensation, her feelings. So I told her, okay, whenever you stress out, whenever that you pay attention to your sensation, your feelings. Because that is the mind, you know, the body already give the signal that you're stressed. Then I said, you pay attention to your tightness, your sensation, your feelings, and then you're telling yourself, relax, relax, relax. So you just relax until the tightness, the tense gone. I said, that is how you deal with the emotion, because sometimes we don't even know. We just react impulsively. Then we reinforce the tendency. And some people relate to the emotion with that obsessive compulsive disorder that keep doing things nonstop. And the reason why that is really important how we relate to ourselves, because when I was in Singapore, a lot of young girls and youngsters, that very depressed, and the suicide rate going up because of they're really stressed out. That's why it's very important that we be able to aware of our emotion, our relationship towards ourselves, towards our defilements. So I remember in early days, someone asked me, she said, you know, you know, as a nun, you have no entertainment and you go back, you know, you just, you know, for us, like, you know, you just meditate and then you just always in your kuti, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. She said, don't you feel bored? I said, no. I said, I never feel bored, because I said, when I go back to my kuti, I said, I have lots of entertainment, because when I go back to my kuti, I switch on from channel 1 to channel 10. I observe my own mind. So I have a bit of laugh, you know, of myself, of the stupidity, you know, of my own defilements. So we relate that, you know, with some, you know, likeness. Just look at it, okay. If you're accepting that, it's fine, you know. I'm, you know, I still have defilements. My defilements kick out, you know. And the stupidity, you know, you still have a bit of love. They say actually it's important to have the bit of likeness, you know, to relate, you know, to have the positive attitude, you know, towards the defilements, even with the defilements. And then the defilement will not there forever. It arises, it's going to pass away. You know, that is not there. But the more you're afraid that it stay there, it stay longer. Because you attach to that, you make it stay longer. They say, it's just a bit of rightness. So when you have done something wrong, you just laugh at yourself. It doesn't matter. Oh yeah, I'm just stupid, you know, fine. You know, so I feel it's important that we feel at ease and at peace with ourselves. If we are not happy with ourselves, then that's like why sometimes people have this, that they committed suicide. Sometimes like that moment you can't see things, you know. That's why it's important. And of course, it's easy, said and done, you know, to cultivate this quality, trust, you know, loving kindness, compassion, you know. But of course, that is, we know how, what is the key, how to cultivate this. Actually, the meditation is the key. To practice mindfulness, awareness. Do we aware when this happening? You know, what arises in our mind when we stress out to the maximum point? We know. We know that is, you know, we need to have a break. I remember recently someone told me that she said she used to be very depressed. And at one point that she worked very hard. She worked 13 hours. And she go back, she work until 11, she go back, she still bring things back to home and do. And until 3 o'clock next morning, she get up to work again. Until a point that she was so stressed out. Then she become very depressed. Then she said, and then she started to plan to kill her boss. She said, it's true, she said, this was in my mind. I have the plan to kill him. Then after I kill her, I'm going to jump down because she's working in Singapore. I will jump down from the top, you know, because in Singapore, lots of high-rise building. She had that plan. And when she talked to her sister said, are you crazy? You just changed your job. Why you want to kill your boss? But sometimes when you are in it, you can't see. You know, it's easy for, you know, when you're in that, you know, that because when you're really stressed out, when you're in that yourself in it, you can't see clearly. That's why the first step, the first step and the foundation step is mindfulness. Practice mindfulness, awareness, moment to moment awareness. Meditation is the key. Whether we're aware of that's what is going on. Then only that we'll be able to deal with our emotion. Know what is going on with us. Because if not, we don't know. You know, because we already straight away when the emotion come out, we already stuck in like this lady. You know, just because of she's stressed out. A lot of people stress out. So we need to have a break. So when we stress out, we need to have a break. Then that is practice. Meditation is the key. Of course, it will not happen overnight. If we have a strong mind, if our mind is strong enough, is calm enough, we have the awareness. Whatever negativity, whatever ill will, you know, negative, unwholesome thoughts arises, we are aware of that. And we be able to have that non-reactive awareness, you know, just to observe the arising and passing away of this emotion, whatever emotion, negative emotion. But it takes a bit of practice. This will not happen overnight. So they say it's important. The last thing, actually, we have to come from ourselves. So if we have that, you know, we're at ease and at peace with ourselves. We have the kindness and trust and respect and self-confidence within ourselves. Then we have that towards others. It's actually you have to start from ourselves first. That is the practice is always from ourselves. From ourselves in to outside. So if you want, for example, if you want our children, you know, For example, we have someone come to us say, please teach my teach my girl how to meditate. Then when we ask them, do you meditate? No, I never meditate. So, you know, so we have to start from ourselves, isn't it? So it's all relationship also the same. We have to start from ourselves. If we have that, if we be able to at ease and at peace with ourselves, they have the kindness and compassion towards ourselves. So the same thing, we be able, the relationship to others, the same how we relate to others. So actually, it's not the object itself is a problem. It's again and again, I keep telling people, is what, what's that, the object when the mind, and between that arises, you know, when we have the contact. You know, what arises that between the mind and the object, that when we hold on to it, when we're clinging to it, that's the problem. It's not the object, it's not something outside, it's problem. It's a problem. Our suffering is not come from outside. It's come within us, it arises within ourselves. So if you want to solve the problem in life, so you can always solve by looking out. Only by looking in, through investigating. When you're suffering, you just investigate your own suffering and look within yourself. Then you got the answer and you'll be able to solve your problem in life. So I offer this for your reflections and thank you for listening. Any questions or comments?
Hello, Beryl Haspana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just now, when you mentioned that when you meet some difficult people,
mm-hmm.
they are our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that touched my heart, you see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was recalling the Buddha's saying, you know, okay, mm-hmm. that patience, tolerance, and understanding, they are the highest virtues.
Mm-hmm.
And also it came to my mind, you know, last week, you know, Ajahn Brahm was saying, it will pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think that sometimes in certain situations, we have to endure, you know? Mm-hmm. We have to endure it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was recalling that in like, practice patience, tolerance, and understanding,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it will pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certain things we have to endure, you know? Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you be, sometimes, of course, if you don't have the, if your mind is not strong, it's not calm enough, it's easy to say to endure. Sometimes you can. So when you can't, sometimes you have to leave that situation, remove ourselves from the situation. We know for ourselves we cannot hold anymore. We have to remove ourselves from the situation. Of course, it's easy, you know, to say, you know, to say that, you know, to endure patient, you know. But sometimes that you know that you up to your limit, then decide it's always good to remove yourself from the situation, then to avoid that, to react, you know. Because this will not happen overnight unless you have a strong mind. You know, you have this calmness and stillness, you know, you have very strong, then you can hold. If someone, if your calmness is not enough, your mind is not strong enough, you can't hold. Yeah.
Can I add something? Yeah.
Okay.
But some certain situations you can't leave. You know, it's good to, that you can leave.
Yeah.
That's why
this is the Buddha talk about the four. That's why the Buddha talk about the four right effort. Then that moment you try to replace when it's already the unwholesome thoughts already arisen, so you replace the wholesome one. So we have the things, thoughts of loving kindness. No, so we use actually the in one of the suttas the Buddha did mention the five steps, you know, to deal with these unwholesome thoughts. That then you pacify the mind or keep telling yourself calm, 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 and you know we have to use all these skillful means to calm ourselves down. So we try to have a break, you know, like for example, we feel we're really upset, and so we try to replace a thought of loving kindness. If it still doesn't work, then we have to reflect, you know, the danger of that. So it still doesn't work, the Buddha said, you know. Then you have to pacify the mind like a mantra. You tell yourself any words that works for you. Maybe you tell yourself calm, calm, calm. Maybe chill out, you know. At peace, peace, peace. Any words that will, you know, help you. You have to use that to help you to pacify the mind.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any more questions?